You know, the president has signed over 750 signing statements since coming into office. Those conveniently low-key addendums signed by the president, which allow him to overrule any law which conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution, according to him. Well, he's at it again. Last week, the New York Daily News reported that the president, on December 20th, signed another signing statement. This one would allow him to open your mail. Joining us to discuss just what this means is Caroline Frederickson. She's the legislative director with the American Civil Liberties Union. Caroline Frederickson, it's nice to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So is the president giving himself new powers by executive fiat here? Is he really saying that he has the right to open our mail?
He is indeed. It's not a new claim on his part. He's done this in a number of other areas. You probably know he's already said that he can spy on us without a warrant. He can listen to our phone calls without a warrant. He can come into your house and look through your drawers without a warrant. This is just part and parcel of the Snoop administration, this president who doesn't think he needs to abide by the law.
Is this something that he's saying that his administration is already doing and they're just letting us know about it for the first time? Or is this a claim that is this a new right that they're claiming?
I think he's saying they've been doing it, and
wow,
they've probably been doing it for a long time. You know, remember that we only knew about the fact that they were violating the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which requires a warrant to do electronic surveillance of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We only found out about that because of some good journalism of some reporters who found the real story and were able to bring it forward. We're not learning about any of these things generally through the Bush administration's telling us, except periodically when the president signs these signing statements. As you've mentioned, there are 700 different provisions of the law that he explicitly says he doesn't have to follow because he believes his commander-in-chief authority allows him just to ignore what rule of law governs our country and do whatever he chooses.
On the one hand, we may even be lucky that he made this signing statement. If he's been doing this all along with no indication, if they've been violating what we all understand to be our rights to privacy concerning our mail all along and we didn't know about it, and this signing statement has brought our attention to it for the first time, we may in fact be lucky because of this assertion, because otherwise they would have just been doing it without us having any clue at all.
That's absolutely right. And that's why the ACLU, we filed a Freedom of Information Act request to try and find out exactly what he means by this. Is this a new policy, or has this, just like all of these other spying programs, has this been going on for years and years in violation of very explicit statute? The postal statute says explicitly that the opening of mail sealed against inspection must only be done by our government with a warrant. Guess what? We all write letters we expect them to get from our house, from our mailbox, to the mailbox of the person that we're sending it to without the government holding it up and reading it.
You know Cliff Clavin, the mailman on Cheers?
Yes.
He's the reason I know that we have a right to have our mail not opened. I mean, even if all you've ever done is watch Cheers, it's this basic fundamental understanding that the mail doesn't get opened, that it's one of these things that, you know, you actually get private mail. This isn't East Germany. The government can't open it up. I mean, there is an exception to this. There is the rule that was, as I understand it, in 1996, postal regulations were altered in the event that somebody thought there was a ticking bomb in a letter. Under the Clinton administration, they said that they could open mail in that very narrow circumstance. That's already on the law, but he's asserting a right beyond that.
Far beyond that. And yeah, I think we can all agree that there's common sense behind saying, hey, if there's something dangerous in that mail, they should be allowed to open it. It's an emergency.
Yeah.
Okay, we understand that. Similarly, there are exceptions to the warrant requirements for electronic surveillance. We all understand that there are emergency situations. That's already provided for by law, but
yeah,
what we think of as an emergency has become the norm for this administration. They do it every single day.
Because of that, do you think that this is, I mean, and I first started grappling with this around FISA and the warrantless wiretapping question. I felt like, you know what, it's very clear to me that they could have done everything they're doing under the law, and they're choosing instead to do it in an illegal way. They could get a warrant for any suspected terrorist who they wanted to wiretap. They could get a warrant, or they could use the postal regulation from 1996 to open any piece of mail that there was a legitimate concern about. If it's not about a legitimate concern, if it's not about terrorism, if it's not about security, Is it just about expanding executive power for the sake of doing that, just about creating an imperial presidency? Or do you think that they want these powers in order to use them in less defensible ways, in order to use them for, you know, less, I guess, the kinds of spying that they wouldn't necessarily want to admit to, maybe even for political purposes?
Well, you know, Rachel, at the very least, they're trying to expand the powers of the presidency beyond what anyone has ever imagined.
Yeah.
And I would actually quote from the American Bar Association had a big discussion and put out a report on the use of signing statements by the Bush administration, and I would quote it saying that these statements are contrary to the rule of law and our constitutional separation of powers. And basically what the ABA looked at was how far this administration has gone to basically say that the president is above the Congress. When the Congress passes a law, it might apply to everybody else, but it doesn't apply to him. That is a radical departure from where our concept of our government was before the Bush administration. We all believed in three branches of government, checks and balances, separation of powers. That is out the window with this administration. So even, you know, I don't know whether they're using it in a political means to go after, to snoop on their enemies, their political opponents.
Mm.
That could be possible because guess what? We don't know anything about how they've used this power because they've said the constitutional authority of the president is above Congress's and he doesn't have to tell Congress anything about what he's really doing.
Right. They not only don't have to disclose what they're doing, they can reject all oversight of what we find
Absolutely.
Out that they're doing, either because of journalism or because of these disclosures. It's not only about the president putting himself above the law. It's about him putting the executive branch ahead of the law, because it won't be him personally opening your mail. It'll be whoever he designates to do that. And he's creating this unaccountability in the executive branch and all the agencies of the executive branch. I mean, everything that's not Congress or the courts is the executive branch to a certain extent. He's creating this unaccountability and these expansive powers in the bureaucracy under the guise of Homeland Security that it's going to be very hard to put this genie back in the bottle.
Oh, no question about it. And I think it's interesting because the Congressional Research Service did a very lengthy study of presidential signing statements.
Mm-hmm.
And although other presidents have used them in the past to sort of say, this is, you know, I agree with, you know, there may be a constitutional infirmity in this part of the law, or I don't like this, or something of that nature, even the Congressional Research Service, which is the most scrupulously independent, nonpartisan organization, has said that basically President Bush, the current President Bush, his use of signing statements is qualitatively different because he has used it to emphatically endorse the unitariness, as they say, of the executive branch, of the special role of the executive and the higher level of the president over other branches of government. And again, it's a radical departure from where we've been, and it is really very dangerous for those of us who believe that our country has to remain a democracy and not a monarchy.
Caroline, one last question for you, and that is, with the new Democratic Congress, with the concerns that have been expressed about this specific signing statement by Senator Russ Feingold today and Senator Chuck Schumer when we first learned about it last week from the Daily News, is there anything that the Congress can do to try to interfere with the signing statement assertions, to try to stop the president from doing this or to take back some of the powers that he's claiming for himself?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. There are a lot of tools that Congress has that haven't been exercised since the Bush administration came into power. For one, plain old oversight can do a great deal. That's because Congress actually has the power of issuing subpoenas and demanding that documents or individuals be produced.
Mm.
Just shining some sunshine on this abysmal state of affairs is going to clear up a lot of things, and I think is going to bring public pressure a lot more to bear on what's been going on. So that's one thing. But there is also the appropriations process, which is a very powerful tool. The power of the purse is the power of control, and I think this Congress can say, you know what? You don't agree with how we've passed the law. Well, either you abide by it, or we're not going to fund your X program or your Y program, or we're not going to fund the White House. I mean, they can do all of those things. And what we're setting up for, unfortunately, is a real constitutional crisis here, because the president has basically asserted that he is above the law.
Yeah.
And there are only certain tools that Congress has before this has to get kicked out, I think, really into the public forum. And it's really the constituents and the American voters who are the ones who are going to take this president to task in a real substantive way.
Caroline Fredrickson, very good to talk to you about this. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Caroline Fredrickson is the legislative director of the ACLU. She and ACLU executive director Anthony Romero are going to hold a press conference tomorrow to discuss the ACLU's legislative priorities for the new Congress. One might expect that the reassertion of the, constitutional democracy we used to have and the separation of powers and checks and balances might be part of that agenda.